We begin the current daven sech this even dav tzadi zayin. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion, but goes in a different direction from where it was in the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlikis in our Mishnah and subsequently developed in the Braisa between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda regarding tefillin that was found out in the field. And that is, on Shabbos, tefillin are out in the fields, it's disgraceful. There's certain heterim allowing one to transport into the town. What generally a person does, he puts on the tefillin, he brings in the pier or two piers and goes back out and keeps on transporting it back and forth so it comes to a place where it's not lying in disgrace. However, although everyone agrees by old tefillin, which is recognizable that as tefillin one can do that, but by new tefillin there was a machlekes. And the Gemara developed that machlekes is based on this theory, if ein odem tereach or a person is tereach, by something that's not so common. In other words, let's say regarding new tefillin. It could be a kameya, it could be an amulet and not really tefillin. But would someone go through to that effort to go ahead and create an amulet in such a delicate way that's so sophisticated like tefillin? Do we have to suspect that or not? That was the machlekes regarding if one can bring in chadashas or not. The one that says one could bring in chadashas is saying that no, we don't suspect that it's not tefillin because no one's going to be matriach to go ahead and make an amulet so sophisticated exactly like tefillin. Similar to the discussion the Gemara had in the previous daf regarding when one finds tzitzis strings that have tchelis on it, do we suspect that maybe it was in such a way that you could use it for a garment, but a person's not going to go through such a ticha? That was debated. Similarly, we said that's the machlekes regarding if one could bring in new pairs of tefillin or not. Do we suspect that a person was matriach to go ahead and make an amulet exactly like that or not? And that's where our Gemara begins right now. Shitzi Atzvi Simon, this is mnemonic for the coming Gemaras. So the Gemara says, although we had established that was the machlekes Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda regarding if you could bring in new tefillin or not, and that is, again, if you say that you could bring it in, that means we don't suspect that it's an amulet, and we take for granted, we assume that it is tefillin, and that's why you could bring it in to save it and go through this lenient transportation on Shabbos, which would generally be forbidden. Or if we say that you cannot bring it in, that's because we do suspect that it's a kameya. But now that he gave us an insight into what exactly is the characterization of yeshanis, of old tefillin, and of chadashas, of new tefillin, that elohen yeshanis, what are old tefillin? That again, that we know for sure that their tefillin is kol shesh ben ritzuis umekusharis, that it has two things. One is that it has the straps, the ritzuis of the tefillin, and that it's knotted the way tefillin are normally knotted. What are chadashas? That there we have a machlekes regarding if we can bring it in or not. That's yesh ben ritzuis beloy mekusharis, that it has the straps of the tefillin, but it's not knotted. What does it mean it's not knotted? It's not knotted with the types of knots that tefillin always have, which are in the form of letters, and that's how it always stays. So now, from that, we could recognize that the reason why it is forbidden by new tefillin is not because of that we suspect that maybe it's a kameya, not tefillin. It's because that of the knotting, that to make a knot on Shabbos is an av malacha, which is prohibited. Therefore, since you can't knot and make a kesher shakayama, an everlasting knot, which is what the tefillin has to be, the letters have to constantly stay there, and therefore you cannot make it into tefillin on Shabbos, to then permit it to be transported the way it's normally worn on Shabbos. That is the reason for that person, for that opinion, that Tana, that says that that is why you can't transport it. In other words, Chadashis is a problem because of now it's not knotted. If it's not knotted, so it's not tefillin. If it's not tefillin, that's why you can't transport it, and that's why you have to leave it there. But not because it's not tefillin, and rather commands the Gemara said, the Kuli Alma loy tarach inish. That in truth, regarding the discussion that we had in the previous daf, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the reason why you can't bring in chadash is not because we suspect that it's kameya, because the person would not go through the difficulty. And therefore, even he would agree regarding, let's say, if one finds strings that have blue wool, that we would not suspect that it was made for type of a way, is overly sophisticated way of incorporating it into a garment, and rather we would assume that it was made lishma for the purpose of tzitzis, because the person would not go through the tircha, just like here that we're saying that even he, who does not allow the transportation of the new tefillin, again, it's not because we suspect that it's a kameya, but rather because since it's not knotted, and therefore doesn't have the kesher, he does not consider it as tefillin in the form of that it's normally worn, and that's why it can't be transported, because you can't go ahead and make the kesher on Shabbos. That is the reason, because that's what chadashas mean. But on this explanation is what the Gemara asks right now, that really, even according to Yehuda, you should be permitted to transport new tefillin, that what we're calling it is that it's einim kesher, so it's not knotted, but there's a way around that. And how is that? The Gemara says, v'lian vinu me'anav, tie it in a bow. Don't make a kesher shel kayama. You're right, kesher, tying a knot is one of the lamates malachas. But there's a way to do it permissibly in that you do it in a bow, which is not a permanent knot. And then you'll have your letters, you'll have the way the tefillin are knotted, but in a bow. And that the Gemara says, Amrav Chizda, Zaysimir, so what you could conclude from the question is, because it's a good question, is that Aniva Psul Betvilin, that obviously, that although doing it in a bow would not violate the Lamates Malachas of Kesher, but it wouldn't be satisfactory to now still create it into Tvilin, because Tvilin are not kosher with a bow. It has to have a Kesher Shalkiyama, a real full-fledged knot, and that is why that's not an option. Because, again, you're still then stuck without having the tefillin knotted, and then it's not tefillin, so you can't transport it in the way tefillin are normally worn. And therefore, although you won't be violating kesher, but then that ultimately won't make it into tefillin, and that's why that's not an option. Abaya Mabaya argues on Rav Chizda's conclusion from the question. He says, no, Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei. Rabbi Yehuda is going according to an opinion that is mentioned elsewhere, that is, as it's mentioned, Masechta Shabbos and Avkuf Yud Gimel and Perik El Kasharim, that if the rope of a bucket rips, so there's different ways you can go ahead and to attach something to it to bring up the water. However, he says, as long as one does not tie it in a bow. So obviously you see that the reason is because of knotting, and that you would be liable for an Av Malacha, and that's why the reason is, as the Gemara says, Da'ama Aniva Ksheri Mal Yasihi, the reason why, you asked, so do it in the bow. Don't do it in the kesher. Oh, so obviously, that although that will be an option for the halachas of Shabbos, but that won't work for tefillin. He says, no. The reason why you can't do it in the bow is because, according to Behuda, as we find that he says in Masechet Shabbos, that tying in a bow is equivalent to tying with a kesher shel kiyama, tying with a full-fledged knot. And that's why it's aser. Because then, that will still be the iser of kesher, and that's why you can't do it even in a bow. And that the Gemara asks, so what are you concluding? So Taima Daniv Ksher Mal Yasi. What you're saying is, the reason why you can't do this option when you find these new tefillin, according to the opinion that says you can't go ahead and bring it in because it's not knotted and it's not made the way tefillin are normally made. And although you're saying that go ahead and put it in a bow, that also doesn't work because that same opinion, that same Tana's opinion is that a bow would still be considered the Av Malach of Kesher, but the conclusion is that the reason is that Niva Ksher Mal Yasi, that because it's a full-fledged knot, that's why it's not an option. Halav Hachi Anamlu, but what it sounds like you're trying to say that not to have Rav Chizda's conclusion, but that if it was not the Isser of Shabbos of Kesher, which some opinions have in regarding making a bow, then that would be a valid option to making it a kosher tefillin, enough for that, and then it wouldn't be violating the halachas of Shabbos. But how can you say that? Vam Rav Yehuda Berei Rav Shmuel Bashilas Bashmeder Rav, Kesher shel tefillin, the knot of tefillin, halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai hu. It's a halacha taught a Masorah from Moshe all the way going back to Har Sinai. That how are the knots supposed to be made? That it has to be similar to having the knot that comes back in by the neck of the tefillin shereish. It has to be like the shape of a dalet. That how that knot has to be, and then the stitching has to be made like a shin. And then there's a strap by the shalyad, which that little one by the biceps over there has to be in the shape of a yud, which then makes Hashem's name of Shin Dalad, and then yud, Shem Shakai. So that's one halacha, that's halacha l'meshe b'sinai. V'amr Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman also said, v'noyehin, and that this beauty, in other words, the recognition of these letters have to be labar, has to be sticking outside. In other words, you shouldn't have, for example, the shin in the bias in the one of Shal Reish that should be sticking inwards, that towards the parashas, rather it should be sticking outside that people could see it, as what the pasuk says, v'ro, that chalami eretz, it says that all the nations will see, which Rabbi Lezak Gadol says, that's a reference to tefillin Shal Reish. So basically the question is, that you see that this kasher, the knot, is halacha l'meshe m'sinai. Like Rav Chizda says, aniva, tying in a bow, is not good enough. Because you see that these knots, halacha l'meshe m'sinai, you have to make Hashem's name. Obviously, you can't just create a bow to be able to tie it onto your arm or to your head. That the Gemara answers, that's not a question. The aniv l'hu ke'in kashir d'tu. In other words, it would be an option. If aniva would not be a iser of kesher, of halacha Shabbos, according to Yehuda, then there would be a viable option to go ahead and transport it by making it into a bow, because although you have to have the name of Shin Dalad Yud in the tefillin, but you could bow it, you could do it in a way that it's not a permanent knot, and therefore it's not a question. You're right, that's halacha Mishra Zina, but it doesn't have to be in the form of a knot, it could be in the form of a bow. So now the Gemara continues with another statement from Rav Chizda, again in this topic of tefillin. I'm Rav Chizda Merav. Halakech tefillin, if someone purchases tefillin, in other words, he's buying many pairs of tefillin, let's say he's a retailer, and he's going to go ahead and resell them. And he's purchasing them, mimisha ena mumcha, from somebody that is not a professional. So therefore, since he doesn't know for sure that they're totally kosher, so that his responsibility is that boydik shtayim shal yad, he has to check two two individual pairs of the shalyad, v'achas shalroish, and one of the shalroish. And therefore, once you check three pairs of, not, in other words, when you say pair of tefillin, when you check three individual batim of tefillin, that you see that they're good, that they're done well, so then you could take all the other ones without checking them. Or two of the head and one of the hand. But you have to have three, and this three has to include at least one of each one. So again, either two of the head and one of the hand, or two of the hand and one of the head. To which the Gemara asks, Manavshach. Either way, what exactly is your opinion? E, if you say that this person that's purchasing these many pairs of tefillin, Michad Gavra Kazavan, he's buying it from one person, and that seller that he's buying from also purchased it from one person, so then why is it exactly the way you said that two and one? Livdik oishol shalyad, oishol shalreish. So let him check either three of the shalreish or three of the shalyad, and that should be enough to make a chazak on all the pairs. Why does it have to be one from the head and one of the shalyad? I understand you have to have three, which creates a chazaka, which that is that it shows that this is the conclusion. When you check three, it shows that this is what the character of all these things are. However, why one or the other? And that's if you're purchasing from one person. And if you're not buying from one person, rather from two, three different people, so then every pair of tefillin should have to be checked, because maybe the one that sold on this one didn't sell on that one and doesn't show anything of proof of kashrus by showing that, look, I selected three and this is a chazaka showing it's good because that's from this person, but that's from a different person. You don't know who's from what. So therefore, it shouldn't be enough. Even with three, you should have to check every single one. So how do we understand this exact conclusion of two from one and one from the other? So the Gemara answers, L'oilu mechad gavrizam. Truth is that we're purchasing from one person. But then the question was, so why do you have to check two shal roish and one shal yad, or vice versa? Just check three from the whole bunch. What's the difference between the head ones or the hand ones? However, be'ino de mismachi b'shal yad b'shal roish. However, since they are different items, one is shal roish, one is shal yad, so although three from the whole thing of the total is enough, because it's from one person, however, inclusive of that has to have at least one from just shal yad and one from shal roish, just because they're different items. However, the total will be three, but one at least from each item. But then the Gemara asks, Ini, is that really so? And that is, Batani, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, Betfilin, Baidik shal shal yad b'shal roish. We have this brice that says that Betfilin you check three of the shal yad or of the shal reish. Now, my love, what isn't this what the words, if you interpret it, means? Oishala shal yad, oishala shal reish. That means either three of the shal yad or three of the shal shal reish, and therefore that you don't have to have one from each one. As long as the total is three from this whole bunch, it doesn't make a difference to have at least one of each type of the shal yad and shal reish. So the Gemara says, loy, the way you have to translate the words of that brayse that says shalish shal yad b'shal reish is shalish. There has to be three of them. Mehen shal yad, mehen shal reish. Some of them being from the shal yad, and some of them being shal shal reish. In other words, at least one from each one, and the total will be three, but exactly like Rav Chisda had said the halacha before. But now the Gemara asks on the main halacha that Rav had said, that it has to be three. Up until now we were questioning why it has to be at least one from each type, but we had assumed that three was enough. But Vatani Rav Kahana had taught us a brisa, betfilin baidik shtayim, that when it comes to checking the pairs of tefillin that you're buying a whole bulk at one time, you only check two, not three. Shal yad b'shal reish. One shal yad, one shal reish. And we and Rav had said that you have to check three. And the Gemara says, Hamani, that opinion that says it's enough with two is Rebbe. That's Rebbe. The Amma betrays him, they have a chazaka. His opinion, which is recorded elsewhere in Masechet Yevam, is that he says with two times establishes a chazaka, a prevalence, something that shows a pattern that is, for example, as the Gemara in the Yevamis discusses, where a woman gets married to one person and he dies. Married to a second person and he dies. She doesn't marry the third person because she's a katlana. She's someone that obviously makes men die. So therefore, you see that the chazak is after two times. Similarly, over here, we'd say it's enough to check two tefillin, but we're not going in his opinion. We're going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who considers the chiyuv of chazaka after three times. Then the Gemara asks, "Hey, Rabbi, if you're saying that brisa of Rav Kahana that says enough with two times is going in Rabbi's opinion, but Emes Seva, look at the end of that brisa that he brought us. It says v'chim atzevas hashen. The same thing applies to the second bundle. V'chim atzevas hashlishi. Same thing applies to the third bundle. Now, if talking about that, if someone has many bundles." Now, in every bundle, there's a lot of pairs of tefillin. And the Gemara assumes that what the Brisa was saying was as follows, that you check the first bundle, two pairs of tefillin. If you see those two pairs of tefillin are kosher, then that whole bundle is kosher. Same thing for the second bundle. It will also be established that way. And same thing with the third bundle. Now, once the third bundle is already established kosher, so all the bundles now are considered kosher, and you don't have to check any other bundles anymore. That's what it sounds like the Brice is saying. The same thing for the second bundle and the third bundle. Now, all the bundles don't have to be checked, even two brizitzvot. And the question is, if you're saying that Brice is like Rabbi, so shlisha mi islay, does he have a necessity for a third bundle? Just like we said, in each bundle, it's enough with two pairs of tefillin, because he holds chazak is after two, so too, you only would have to check two bundles, and then you would have to check all the other bundles. What's this third bundle? If it's like Rebbe, you should not require for a chazaka for all the bundles. In other words, in each bundle, there's required to be machzik that bundle. So that's two pairs of tefillin. But then with all the bundles, to be machzik all of them, it should only have to check two bundles, not three bundles. So I'm not thinking of my answers. Rebbe agrees to the bundles that you don't say that an establishment of one bundle will shed light or be machshir the other bundle. And that is because it's common to buy one bundle from one seller, another bundle from another seller, and therefore the fact that you're purchasing all these bundles would not show anything that one bundle is kosher, or two or three or four or five, that the other bundles are going to be kosher also. So even Rabbi would agree that two would not be enough to create a chazaka from one bundle to another. So then the Gemara asks, so yihachi, afila revi nami, then even the fourth bundle, afila chamishi nami, even the fifth bundle. You're saying that one is not machzik the other. So why are we saying that same thing with the second bundle and the third bundle, and then it doesn't go on, which sounds like it's being machzor all the bundles. So you're saying it's not enough for him with two, so three also shouldn't be enough. Every bundle has no relationship with the other bundle. So the Gemara answers, in the chanami, you're right. In truth, it's for all the bundles that you have to check them. And that would be according to Rabbi, which what we're saying, that's who the Brice is like. Two pieces of tefillin in every bundle. V'haydi katani shlishi, so but then why did we say three and then we stopped? That was only lafuki mechazake. That was coming to exclude from the chazaka. In other words, we were coming to teach you exactly this halacha. And although generally two is a chazaka according to Rabbi, but by bundles, Rabbi does not consider a chazaka from one bundle to another. And that's why he went to the number three to show, hey, there is no chazakas here. Because if we could consider chazakas, I would say it's enough for the second bundle. So then I went to the number three. I'm not going to say till infinity, but I told you the number three to show you that there is no chazaka here and you have to check every bundle. And in truth, even the fourth bundle, fifth bundle, etc., etc., one would have to check because it's common to buy one bundle from one seller, another one from a different one, and therefore each one does not shed light on each other. And therefore, again, this is not a difficulty on Rav Chizda's halacha in the name of Rav, that yes, one has to check three, not two. And although that Bryson said two, that was Rebbe. And we have to have one at least from the Shalyad and one from the Shalresh. Now we return to discussing our Mishnah that was talking about when one finds tefillin out in the field, one has to go save them on Shabbos in the most lenient way as possible. In other words, not to disgrace Shabbos by putting it on, either one pair or two pairs. Then the Mishnah said, Matzen tzavasim ha'kriches v'chula. If one finds them in bundles, so then it says that he doesn't carry them one at a time or two at a time. He waits there till after Shabbos, and then he brings them all back. But first, the Gemara wants to understand, my tzvas and my kariches, they both sound like the same terminology of bundles. What are these two different criteria? So, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav. He says, hein hein tzvasim, hein hein kariches. You're right, they really essentially mean the same thing, that they're big bundles of tefillin. The only difference is that tzvasim is zavi zavi. It means that there are pairs. You have the shal, each shal roish is tied with its shal yad, and you have many of these pairs in the bundle. Kriches, when it says the terminology of kriches, is the krichen tuv. It just means they're all in one big bundle, but each pair of tefillin is not tied to each other. So the Gemara continues, saying that the Mishnah said, machshich alein mevin. So these bundles, you don't bring back one at a time. Rather, you wait till it gets dark, and then you bring it. To which the Gemara asks, Amai, why is that so? Le'ailinu zug zug, just like the beginning of the Mishnah said, that you find a pair of tefillin, you wear it, and you bring it back, so it shouldn't lie there in disgrace. You should also, over here, bring back one pair at a time. So Amrav Yitzchak Bered Rav Yehuda says, L'didim efarshli menev da'aba, I heard an explanation for this from my father, that kol she'ilu machnisen zug zug, that in any situation where were you to bring it back one pair at a time, v'kolos koidim shkizacham, and you would be done bringing it back and forth before it gets sundown of Shabbos, machnisen zug zug, then yes, of course you would bring it back one pair at a time, because that would save some of the disgrace. However, v'iloi, but if not, that you wouldn't be able to finish all the prayers of tefillin before Shkiyas HaChama, and since you would have to be matrich and anyways to come back after it gets dark, so then machshich alein mevin, then you just wait until it gets dark, and you bring it all, and now you could carry it instead of the way on Shabbos, which you have to wear it and bring it and come back and back and forth, since you're going to have to come back anyways after Shabbos, because you're not going to finish it during Shabbos, then you just wait till after Shabbos, and you go ahead and you carry them all at one time. Then the Mishnah said, however, ubisakana, in the time of danger, mechasen b'haylech, you just cover it and you leave. However, the Gemara asked, but tanya loy nabraisa, that seems to say nalaka Mishnah. The Braisa says, ubisakana, in the time of danger, melichin pachis pachis ma'arba amas. One transports it by carrying it less than 4 amas at a time. And that is before he reaches 4 amas, he stops to rest. And then he continues to go again less than 4 amas, and he stops, and he continually does that until he gets to the city, to a place where he can put it, that it's protected. Which, that means every time that he has an akira, that he removes himself from the spot where he was, and then v'hanach, where he stops, he's going less than 4 amas at a time, and therefore he's not going to be over at any point in time. The is of havara, dal amas in shasarab. But that's a contradiction. Our Mishnah says you just cover it and you leave, and in the time of danger, and the Braisa says, no, that you carry less than 4 amas at a time. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Loi kasha, it's not a contradiction. And there's two different versions in Rashi. We're going to take the second version of Rashi. He mentioned the Amud Beis, which is Rashi's preferred pshat. That ha, our Mishnah was talking about when you just cover it and you leave, pesakonis nachi, which is the danger of the Oved Gilulim, of the idol worshippers that were ruling over the people at that time. Ha, pesakonis listim, however, the case of the Braisa, it says that one transports it less than 4 amas at a time, is talking about the danger of thieves. That's the type of sakana that's talking about. We continue to Amud Beis, and that is, as Rashi explains, the sakana of our Mishnah, which was talking about of the idol worshippers, that they had made a decree of what's called shmat, that you're going to get punished if you put on tefillin. And the interpretation of the words of the Mishnah, that ubisakana mechasna b'haylech, like that in the time of danger you just cover it and you leave, is not going back just on the case of bundles. It's going back on the entire Mishnah. At a time of danger, if it would be found in your hands, or even if the government would hear that you had tefillin, whether it was a significant, in regarding the case of where you find tefillin, whether it's just one pair of tefillin or even bundles of tefillin, you just cover it with your talis, with a cloak, whatever it is, and that it shouldn't be, it should be lying there in disgrace, and you leave it there, and you go back, and you go wherever you were going, and you shouldn't move it because maybe they're going to notice what you had done, and you're going to be liable for death, which is not something that we want to have. However, the Braisa that said that you do transport it less than 4 amas at a time was talking about robbers, with thieves, with idol worshiper thieves. And it's going on the Seifa only, which we had learned that regarding when there's bundles, they said you wait there until dark and then you go ahead and bring it. However, when there's a danger of thieves, where he's afraid to just stay there until it gets dark because of the bandits, so then he goes ahead and he transports it less than 4 amas at a time, and he shouldn't leave it there because it shouldn't get disgraced by the thieves who are going to be discarding it and showing a major disgrace to it. And therefore, that case of the Braisa, when it's a sakana of listim, we say that go ahead and transport it less than 4 amas at a time. To which the Gemara asks as follows. Amalei Abaye asks on this resolution of the Mishnah and the Braisa. B'mayu kimti l'masnin, how did you assess and explain the case of a Mishnah that you go ahead and you cover it and then you leave it? You said b'sakonis eved gilulim, with the danger of the idol worshippers, that it shouldn't be chayiv death for the government that says one is not allowed to go ahead and practice this religious rite of tefillin. But aim a seifa, look at the seifa of our Mishnah. Reb Shimon says, what you do is, noisin l'chaveh, you give it to your friend, the chaveh l'chaveh, and his friend to his friend. In other words, he doesn't agree to the opinion of the Tanna Kamma that you cover it and then you leave. He says, rather, in this time of sakana, what you should do is give it to your friend, to his friend, to his friend, and that way, transporting it back home. But then the difficulty is, if you're saying it's talking about it's sakana of the government, that they might put a person to death, what do you mean? Koshkin da'av shemilsa. If you're going to do that approach of sending from one person to another person, it's going to make even more of a publicity. And the government's for sure going to hear about it, more than if you were to wear it one pair at a time to bring it in, or if you would wait until it gets dark. So how could that be an approach that he would say over, let's say, bringing one at a time or waiting until it gets dark? If you're going to have all these people, this whole chain, of course it's going to have publicity. And if the case is, like we're saying, it's sakana of the government, that wouldn't make sense that would be Reb Shimon's a favorable option of what to do with it. You're right, but there are words missing from a Mishnah, and the way it should be read is as follows. That the Mishnah is essentially saying, when did we say that in a time of danger, that you covered and then you go? That's b'sakonis avigulum, as we had mentioned, that the case of a Mishnah talking about that there's a danger of the government. Avol, and these are the added words, however, b'sakonis listim, when there's a danger of thief, then is what the opinion of the Tanna Kamma is, melichin pachis pachis metal ramas, that you transported less than 4 amas at a time. Again, there's a transfer over here from the case of sakonis Avigilulim of the government, which is what we were talking about, then it transfers over to the case of when there's a sakana of the listim, which is what the case of the Brice had been talking about, which is then you go ahead and you transport a listim 4 MS at a time, as the Brice actually said. And that is what Reb Shimon comes to argue, and he says that no, you don't transport a less than 4 MS at a time by yourself. Rather, you give it to your friend who gives it to his friend, and etc., etc. But again, they're really now discussing the case of the Braisa, not the case that the Mishnah was originally speaking about of Sakonas Abigalulam. Rather, it's talking about Sakonas of Listam. To which the Gemara asks, but my Kamifiki, what exactly is the machlekes between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon if in a time of danger of bandits, which you don't want to leave it over there and you're not concerned that anyone's going to hear you actually caring because the government's not concerned, they're not making any religious decrees. But if the machlekes is, what's the understanding if one should go ahead and carry it less than 4 amas or not carry it at all, rather pass it to another one, the whole link to get it back. And that the Gemara says that Marasav, the Tanakam, held it's better for the person to transport less than 4 amas at a time. In other words, he walks a little bit less than 4 amas. He stops, goes a little bit less, and that way to get it back. Because if you say he should give it to his friend, who gives it to his friend? After milsa de Shabbos, it's making a lot of noise on Shabbos. In other words, it's what's called zilzil Shabbos. It's a disgrace for Shabbos. You see people transporting, although they're doing it in a permitted way, but it's disgraceful for Shabbos. Better you go ahead and you do it, no one notices, and go less than 4 amas at a time. Umar Sava, however, Shimon held, noisim l'chavei adiv. No, it's better to give it to a friend, to do this whole link. The amit malich and pachas ma'am amas, because if you say like the Tanakam, that one person should transport a less than 4 amas at a time, zimnen delava daite, sometimes he won't be so conscious of what he's doing. He'll just get into the normal route of walking. He might come to transport 4 amas from Rosh Hashanah. So to prevent this issa d'oraisa of happening, we prefer to have the link of the friends to prevent this issa. And again, that is what, but they're again, they're both discussing this machlokes is regarding sakonas of listim, not what the Mishnah was originally talking about of sakonas of gilulim, where everyone would agree that you just cover it and you leave, not to go ahead and get a death sentence for having possession of a pair of tefillin. So now the Gemara resumes what the Mishnah was talking about, that not only did he say that one goes ahead and passes the tefillin from one to another, chaver l'chaver, to back to the city, but v'chein b'nai. The same thing would apply to one's son, that again you transport from friend to friend to get it back to the city. So the Gemara asks, b'nai, my boy, awesome. What is his son doing out there in the field that they have to go transport this baby back to the city? So the b'nai, m'asher tana, b'sheyaldasai imai b'sad. We're talking about when his mother had given birth to him in the field. So now he's born and he needs to give medical care. So you go ahead and you bring him back to the city that way. So the Gemara asks, Umaya filahin me, what does the Mishnah mean when it says even if it's 100 people, what's the chiddush in that? You could pass it from one person to the next. That's the actual halacha. So where does quantity come in? So the chiddush is the afag of the kashi layada, even though the passing of the hands is harsh for the child, when you're passing from one to another person, even up to a number of 100, afalahachi hadiva, the chiddush is telling us that even so, that is still better to do that on Shabbos and not for himself to carry a less than 4 amas at a time, as we've explained, because then a person might get caught up and might end up walking more than 4 amas at a time and be over the isra of havar dal ramas b'shusarab. Then the Mishnah concluded and said, Yehuda Omer, Noisen Adam Chavis. Yehuda said that a person can do the same thing of passing one to another with a barrel. And he said, even if it's going to be going out of the owner's tchum, of his own boundary of 2,000 amas, it doesn't make a difference. You can keep on passing it from person to person. To which the Gemara asks, Veles later, Yehuda, how did not, does he not hold of this that it says in the Mishnah, Masechtas Beya, HaBehemah V'Akelim Keragel HaBailim? Doesn't he agree to this that says there in the Mishnah that cattle and vessels have the same halachic status as the regal, in other words, for how far the owner can go? And that is, if someone borrows or purchases an animal or vessel from his friend on Yom Tov, he cannot transport it further than the place where the original owners were permitted to go. And therefore, if he had made an Erev to the north, this person cannot take it to the south. He can only take it in the area where the owner was. So therefore, is it the Rebbe Yehuda argues on that Mishnah? And he's saying that you could even take it further than this person's tchum. And that is the question that the Gemara is asking, because that Mishnah seems to say clearly that one cannot take it further than the owner's tchum itself. Amr Rish Lakish, Mishum Levi Saba, and the Gemara tries a few different approaches how to resolve this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. First one being this opinion of Rish Lakish in the name of Levi Saba, Levi the Elder, that although there's a Mishnah that says clearly that an item that's owned by a person cannot go out of his tchum, yet Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying clearly in that Mishnah that it could be going out of his tchum. He says, Here, what we're talking about is b'ma'arin mechavus l'chavus. We're talking about that the barrel is that the person is pouring the barrel, the contents of the barrel from barrel to barrel, and that is the second barrel is that person's barrel. And so too constantly, it's each one has his own barrel, and then the one who originally owned it is pouring it into the other ones, who pours it to the other one, which the Gemara will later ask, then what's the understanding of the Chacham who argue on him and say that loita halach, so you cannot have it go out this person's tchum if the barrel is not going out, it's just the contents. Which the Gemara says, v'bihud l'taymei. Mehud is going according to his opinion, which is mentioned elsewhere. The Amar Mayim Ein Behem Mamash, he holds that water has no substance in the sense that it does not acquire the Shvisa, the Tchum, of the original owners. And every person could take it as far as he wants to take it because the barrel, which definitely has the Shvisa of the Bialim, as the Mishnah Sechtes Beis says, that's not going anywhere. I'm pouring out the contents, the water. Now the water has no Tchum. That's why he says it could go out even further than the Tchum of the owners. Tchum of Shabbos. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah over there, Masechtas Be'er. Behuda Paita B'mayim. Behuda says that water is exempt. Mnei She'ein B'hem Mamash, because it has no substance. And that's the Machlik is over there, is in the last parak of Masechtas Be'er. It talks about a woman that borrows from her friend spices for her pot, or water and salt for her dough. So then it says over there that it has that dough, for example, has the tchum of both owners. That is, we have ingredients from both two people, that is, the dough cannot go only to the place where both of them were able to go. And therefore, if one of them made an Erev to the north, and this one made to the south, so then the dough cannot move from its place because it's stuck in between those two tchumen, and it can't go in Am in either direction. And that's, for example, in the case when it actually made a tchum of 2,000 amas away, that means it ends right over here, and this one had made 2,000 amas that way, it ends right over here, it's stuck where it is. However, Rabbi Huda over there says that he exempts regarding water. And that is, for the person that gave the ingredient of water into the, let's say, the dough, he does not have, or she doesn't have, a role over there to prevent the dough from going in the where the limitations of that person's ingredient is. That's different than other ingredients. Water has no substance, and therefore it will not withhold the person from moving in that direction. Now we understand Rabbi's opinion. Although, of course, he agrees that a thing cannot go more than the tchum of its owner, but water is different. And since the barrel is not being transported, rather the water from the contents of the barrel, that's why it can't go past us. And then the Gemara asks, and then what's the understanding of the Rabban of our Mishnah? Umay loy tahalach zu. What is the Chacham who argue on Rabbi Huda and the Mishnah that say that, no, this thing cannot go more than the tchum of its owner? But Rabbi Huda is also not referring to the barrel, as we had just mentioned, because the barrel can't go more than the owner's tchum. As we explained, it's talking about where you're emptying the water from the barrel to a barrel. So what do you mean this cannot go? It's not going. That the Gemara says, lo yahalach mashebezu. What we're saying is that the contents of what is inside the barrel, which is a reference to the water, that cannot go yisim rag lebayim, because they argue on Rabbi Huda, as over there Masechtas Be'er, that even water has substance and would prevent, it would be relegated to the tchum of the owner. And that's why they say that even though we understand Rabbi Huda's opinion, that water is different, they argue on him even regarding water that it cannot go past him. But on that, the Gemara asks, on this whole interpretation of Levi Saba, that he's saying that based on Rabbi Huda's opinion mentioned in Masechtas Be'er, that water has no substance, and therefore that could go out of the tchum. But Eimer d'shamet leil Rabbi Huda, where do we find that Rabbi Huda says this concept, this chiddush of mayim ein behem mamash, that water has no substance and it's not relegated to the tchum of the owner? That's hecha debelin be'isa. That's where it's absorbed into the dough, as is the case over there in Masechtas Be'er. That's as much as we know that his opinion is mentioned. However, hecha de'isnu be'inayu mishamet leil, do we ever hear him say such a chiddush that where the water is actually here and it is an item of actuality, of reality, that it shouldn't be limited to the tchum of the owner? To the contrary, the Gemara says, as proof that Rabbi Huda would not say that, because hash de begiteir, because what we find by a pot, on Rabbi Huda loy batli, that there the water is not bottle, and therefore it is relegated to the owner's tchum, be'inayu batli, so when the water is actually literally there, would you have a havamina that it's not, that it's going to be batal, and that you that it won't be limited to the owner's tchum? Of course it would be limited to the owner's tchum. The time that we learned the Braisa, Rabbi Huda says, Naim u'melach b'teilim b'isa, water and salt are nullified into the dough. In other words, they don't play a role anymore to consider it as if there's this other person's thing, because we don't see it there anymore. It's only the person who gave the dough that it's that person's tchum, but not the water person's tchum. However, ve'im b'teilim b'kideim ne'raitfa, the water does not become nullified into when you're cooking something in the pot because of the gravy. And that is, the gravy which is still a liquid, the water is recognizable there in the form at least of part of the ingredient of the gravy. And therefore, the question is that if this person lent water for a pot, in other words, for things that are cooked in a pot, which when it's gravy, there we say that it is karaglish dehen, that the water owner will have it being relegated to that person's tchum. So definitely, where the water actually is still there, which is what we're talking about, emptying contents from barrel to barrel, well, definitely, we find Rabbi Yehuda would explicitly hold that it would still be relegated to the tchum of the owner. And therefore, we're back to the question that Levi Saba did not resolve this contradiction, because although we find Rabbi Yehuda saying that water ain't bad mamish, that's only when it gets absorbed into an item like dough. But when the water is actually still there, a culture came from when it's in the gravy where it's not totally visible, that we say that it is relegated to the tchum of the owner, and therefore it's not a good resolution for the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and the Mishnah Masechtas Beis. El Amar Rava, a second try at this resolution. Rava says a different shot. Hachal, but here in our Mishnah, we're talking about b'chavish shekantzah shvisa. We're talking about a barrel that did acquire a tchum of Shabbos because it's owned by this person. Umayim shaloi kantzah shvisa skin, but we're talking about water that did not acquire a tchum of Shabbos. How is so? What do you mean? It's your water and it has your tchum. It's talking about that the water was filled up from a spring that's flowing or from a river on Shabbos, which we learned in the Brayis on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, that naharis hamoshkin, that flowing rivers, umayonis hanoivim, and springs and well springs, that it has the halacha of ragli kolodim, has the halacha of the person that picks it up on Shabbos, and then it becomes his tchum. And therefore, since it did not acquire a shvisa from before Shabbos, so it's not limited to that owner's tchum, and so therefore what? So again, you have the barrel that has a tchum Shabbos, the water that does not have a tchum Shabbos. And he's told about a case that you are actually transporting the barrel too. However, the bat l'chavis l'gabi mayim, we say that the barrel becomes nullified. It's like a tuffle, it's secondary to the water itself, which what the Rabbanan basically argue in Yehuda is that when they say in the Mishnah loy tahalachzu, is they say that no, the barrel does not become nullified to the water in this case. However, Rabbi Yehuda does take that approach, that the barrel we view as bottle to the water. Kedinan, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Hamoitzi Chai B'mita. If someone takes out a live person from a Rosh Hashanah Yochel, let's say to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, on Shabbos in a bed, Potter Af Alamit. Not only is he exempt for the person that he's carrying, because since the person is alive and we have a klal that Chai Nisi Asasmoy, a live person carries himself, so essentially you're not really carrying him because he's assisting in the carrying. It's like two people carrying him, himself and you. Not only are you exempt on carrying him, but you're even exempt on the bed. And the reason being is Neshamita Tveilaloi, because we find the bed as secondary to him. It's like his clothing almost. When you carry out a person, you're not liable separately for his garments. It's secondary to him. So too, since you're exempt on him, you're exempt on the bed too. And similarly, Hamoitzi Eichlin Pachas Mikashir Bikli, if one is transporting food items less than the requisite share of it being considered Hoitza, let's say less than the gregers for food items, in a vessel, Pater Afalakli, not only are you exempt on the food item because it has less than the share, less than the requisite measurement, you even putter on the vessel that you're carrying it in. And the reason is, because the vessel is secondary to him. And therefore, that's why Yehuda says in that Mishnah, one is able to transport the water out of the tchum of the owner of the barrel, because although the barrel is even being transported, but the barrel is secondary to the water. And the case that we're talking about is water that had no tchum on Shabbos, that it was only drawn on Shabbos, and therefore the water has no problem. Therefore, the tuffle of it, the barrel, also has no problem. Which the Chum who argue, and you just say that no, the barrel is not secondary, and that's why you can't transport it out of the tchum. On that, the Gemara asks, Masav Rabbi Yosef, on this interpretation of Rava, but we find clearly that Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda says in the Braisa, Bishayara, in a caravan where they were dwelling out in the open fields, which again they were anus, had no choice and they have no water, so there were certain leniencies that Rabban allowed. So on there we say Nason Adam Chavis Lachaver, a person could give a barrel to his friend, Vachaber Lachaver, and his friend to his friend, and be able to transport it even though it's a leniency, but we allow it for people for a caravan. So the inference is, and this Rabbi Huda is saying, when did we allow this transfer of barrel to barrel to barrel to barrel, which is the halacha that Rebbe mentioned in the Mishnah? That's by a caravan. But if it's not a caravan, then we did not allow this hatter. Now that's definitely a contradiction, and that would not work even according to the interpretation of Rava, because although the barrel is secondary to the water, yet here we find the same halacha he's saying that only works by a caravan, and if it's not a caravan, not. And yet in our Mishnah, he didn't say it requires only a caravan. So how do we understand this new twist in the contradiction of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? So Elam Rav Yosef, rather Rav Yosef says, and this is the third approach, he says, Kitnan nami b'masnitin b'shayur tanan. So obviously that our Mishnah's understanding was told about a caravan. Oh, if it's a caravan, so the questions really fall away. Because although generally an item takes on the tchum of its owner, but regarding caravans, we find that they were lenient, and therefore it is talking about by a caravan, as we find by that price. And that's why we allowed this so to speak, problem of transporting the barrel of this owner's water more than the tchum of the owner itself. However, Abaye says, to resolve the question that Rabbi Yosef had introduced on the interpretation of Rava, how to resolve the opinion of the Braisa and our Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Bishayara, when it's a caravan, which is this question that he asked from the Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda, that Chiddush, although it's saying it's by Shayara, is because it's saying even a bigger Chiddush in our Mishnah. And in truth, what Rav had said in our Mishnah still stands. By a caravan, afilo chavish shekanta shvisa, umayim shekanta shvisa. The Braisa was talking about what we had permitted because they're a caravan was not only that the barrel had a tchum of Shabbos, but even the water had acquired a tchum of Shabbos, and yet still the Braisa allows one to transport the water from chaver lechaver even out of that person's tchum. However, shaloi b'shayara, when our Mishnah, which was talking about not by a caravan, it was talking about as Rava had actually said, and therefore his interpretation does stand, is a chavish akanta shvisa. It was talking about that the barrel had a shvisa. However, umayim shaloi kanta shvisa, it was talking about water that did not acquire a shvisa, and therefore the water is allowed to go out, and therefore the barrel that's secondary to the water could go out, but although the Braisa seems to say it's only by a shayara, by a caravan, that was because it was talking about even a bigger chiddush of when even the water had a tchum, and then definitely, so the barrel is secondary to the water, but the water itself has a tchum, but that is even in such a case, one is allowed to take it out because of the coolest allowed for Shayar. Now the Gemara attempts a fourth approach in resolving the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Ashi says, "Hacha bechavis the half greskin. You want to know how you're allowed to take it out? What do you mean? You have a Mishnah Maseches Bei that says you can't take it out more than tchum of the owner. It's talking about a ownerless barrel. Umayim the half greskin. We're talking about ownerless water. It's not even his. So this that he's passing it from friend to friend, I don't own it. I never was kaina it. So therefore, I could transport even out of my tchum." And therefore there's no problem. So then the question really becomes is, so who's Uman Amrulai? So who's those in our Mishnah that says they said to him, you can't take it out more than tchum of the owner? What do you mean? It's an ownerless item, it has no tchum. That, he says, Rav Ashi says, Rabbi Yechanan ben Nurihi. It's Rabbi Yechanan ben Nurihi who's mentioned in Perek Mishrei Tzi'uhu. The Amad, he says, Chefzi hefker kainan shvisa. Even ownerless items acquire a tchum of Shabbos, and therefore it cannot go out of 2,000 amas of the one who started this whole chain. And that's why they argue, even though it's Chafzei Hefker. Umay loy tahalach zu yisim raglabam, but then how do you understand the words that he uses? He says that this barrel of water cannot go more than the feet, than the way that the person could go of habayim of the owners. Now the problem is, there are no owners. The way we're establishing the case is talking about that it's a Chafzei Hefker. So what does it mean more than the ragli habayim? And that the answer is, lo yahalchu elu yeis mekeim shesh lambayim. That means that these barrels cannot go more than vessels that do have owners, which basically means to say that just like there has a tchum of 2,000 amas, so to here, even though it's chavtzi hafker, as Rabbi Yechem Minuri's opinion is, it also has a tchum of 2,000 amas. But basically, this was all these four different approaches how to resolve the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that although we have a mission that seems to say that Behema and Kalim have Ragle Baam, has the tchum of the owner. However, these were the different answers to approach why Rabbi Yehuda would say that our Mishnah is different, that one is allowed to transport this barrel of water more than 2,000 amas from the tchum of the one who started this whole chain. Now we continue with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the topic of Haitzah that our parak is talking about, and specifically like the first halacha, which was to save tefillin from the field, here it simply talks about items of Kedusha that it shouldn't be in a state of disgrace. So the Mishnah begins, Hayikari b'sefer, if someone was reading from a sefer, now all the svarim in the times of the Gemara were made like a scroll, just like our sefer Torah is. So he's reading it, ala skufa, on like a type of a porch, which is basically like an elevated area. It's not in a house itself, it's not in Rishus HaYachid, but it's somewhere that's bordering there onto the Rishus HaRabim in front of it. V'niskalgal ha-sefer miyadei, now it's a scroll, so it rolls out of his hand. So the halacha is goyle etzle, he can go ahead and roll it back to himself. Now, since he's still holding on to part of it, it's just the other side rolled out, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what we're talking about, but he can go ahead and roll it back. However, hayikai b'reish hagag, if he wasn't on the iskufa, which we're going to explain to the Gemara exactly what the halachic dimensions and parameters of the iskufa is, but if he's on top of a roof, and again, the same type of case that the scroll rolls out, at least one side of it rolls out of his hand. So we have three different opinions in our Mishnah. So the first opinion says it depends. Ad shelo higi la'asara tefachim, until it reaches within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, which is the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, of the public domain, only goes up to 10 tefachim. So up until it reaches there, and the Gemara, again, is going to explain all this, what we're talking about. So then, goy la'asara, you could still roll it back to yourself. However, mishagi la'asara tefachim, once it reaches within the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, 10 tefachim from the ground, ha'yifchei al-iksav, you can't roll it back to yourself anymore, but rather you turn it over, that is the letterings that are written, you should turn that towards the wall, that it shouldn't just be there, lying out there in a state of disgrace, rather you turn it over, so now you don't see the letters, and you leave it until it gets dark, and then when it's not Shabbos anymore, then you can go ahead and roll it back up. The second opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Imer, says, afila ein mesilik min ha'aretz, ele kemloi mechet, that even if it went within 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, and at least, if it's at least the space of a pin, and it, in other words, not actually touching the ground, then you can still roll it up. And the third opinion, Rabbi Shimon, he says, now, even if it rolls down and it hits the ground, it rolls down, it's on the ground, you can still roll it back up. Because there is no iser that's only forbidden because it's an iser drabban, which that's the term we use for isur drabban of shvus. For example, like this case, where it did not fall out of his hand totally. He's still holding on to one side of it. Therefore, there's no iser of itzah. As long as you're holding on to it, it's still considered attached to where you are. The whole reason why it would be forbidden in the first place is only because of a gzera decree that maybe it might totally fall out. And then he might come to bring it back in, because if we allow him to bring it in when he's still holding on to it, now when it falls out, he's going to grab it, and he's going to be doing a haitzah from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So it's only a gzera, so therefore we do not keep a gzera that should be oimed b'fnei kisra kodesh, that should stand in the way of the disgrace and the honor of kisra kodesh, and therefore, since we have a state of disgrace for a sefer that's here, therefore, iser d'rabban, which is at most it's a decree, it's a gzera that we're concerned that maybe you might come to do an iser, that we override that gzera d'rabban for the honor of kisra kodesh, even if it actually fell down, as long as no iser d'rabban is actually happening, you could roll it back up.